Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here in Highland Radio this Monday morning. And we are continuing our series of pre-election debates, and we are focusing on Letterkenny. It's part two of the Letterkenny electoral area, and we've got nine candidates in with us today. So hopefully you'll learn a bit more about them over the course of the next hour and 50 minutes. We're going to give each a minute just to set out their stall, I suppose, introduce themselves, outline the key priorities, however they want to use that minute. And we'll start with Kevin Bradley, who's running as an independent. Good morning, Kevin. And just to outline for us, I suppose, why people should give their vote to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to all your listeners. And welcome all the candidates here. It's good to see everybody here on a bright morning. And congratulate Donegal on the great one they had at the weekend and Letterkenny Rovers yesterday. Everybody should be on a good note. I'm seeking re-election again. I'm the current mayor of Letterkenny. I was elected in 2019. And since that time, we had challenging times in the middle of it through COVID and one thing or another. But I'm hoping to get re-elected again on the strength of the work that we have done. We have a lot of work done. We've brought the guts of 30 million to Letterkenny here for the regeneration of Letterkenny, all the great work that's going on. The likes of the open eating space there and Green Theatre, the old ESB yard and the Alpha and PETA building that's going to go on it. The Lineker Walk, which is going to come up through there from the Social Services Office right up the Port Road up to the High Road there, which will develop the tennis court and will help the boxing club. And the new transport hub in the middle of that, development that's coming on, and different projects going on, like the Market Square's going out to development there now, the Cathedral Quarter, and the likes of them two sites that's coming on, and hoping to stay on, hoping to continue the great work that's going on now.
Okay, good stuff. Thanks very much. We'll also hear now from Fianna Fáil Councillor Donald Mandy Kelly. Good morning, Donald.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to all your listeners. And I suppose we are working on a high the day after the great one, as the mayor has stated here with Donegal at the weekend. It's great to see the county on a buzz. And listen, Greg, I'm Councillor Donald Mandy Kelly. I sit in Fianna Fáil, County Councillor from Glenswally. I had the privilege of being mayor of Letterkenny and Milford Municipal District in 2022 to 2023. I'm married to my wife, Aisling, and our son, Donald Jr., who's 12 years of age, and my wife's originally from outskirts of a town there, Manor Cunningham. I was co-opted onto Donegal County Council in September 2020, a seat that was previously won by my late brother, Manus Mandy Kelly, and his team in 2019. I suppose then, Greg, my father, took over the seat for the excess of a year, and I must state that he'd done a Trojan job under tough circumstances at the time. I believe since 2020 that I have worked tremendously hard to represent the people to the best of my ability, and but I know there's a lot more work to be done, and I'm eager to get at it. I believe that I'm tried, I've been tested, and I have been delivering, and I want to continue doing that going forward. I feel that I've also worked very hard for each and every area throughout the municipal district, where possible over the last 3.5 years, and I want to continue doing that as well. So I'm asking the people for their support on June 7th to come out and support me in any way that they can to help me retain this seat and be re-elected on June 7th.
All right, thanks for that. Michael McLaughlin, standing for Labour. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for the invitation. It's good to be here. Good morning, fellow candidates and everyone listening. I'm Michael McLaughlin, proud Letterkenny man, born and bred in the town, and I'm running in the locals for the Labour Party. I decided to get involved in politics a number of years ago. I went on the first march for the MICA protest in Dublin and stood there. I thought, OK, I need to do something. I've got time that I can use to do this. So I came home and I looked around at what my options for standing were or what my options for getting involved were. And I liked the Labour Party notions of equality, fairness and justice. And from then went along to Labour Party meetings and became involved in the county party, and from there became county secretary. And as you know yourself, I've been on here a couple of times with you as the voice of Labour North West. As a proud townie, I think we have some issues going on in town that we need to look at. We've got problems, and people are telling me about problems around housing, around traffic, around transport. And I think I've got the skills and the ability to do something to help out on that as a proud townie.
All right, thanks very much for that, Councillor Jerry McMonagle. Good morning to you too.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to all my fellow candidates, and good morning to the listeners out there. Look, I've been a councillor since 2004, first in the town council and then the county council. I've been working very hard for the people of the Letterkenny Municipal District and indeed the people of Donegal during that time. I'm part of a strong Sinn Féin team that's standing in Letterkenny this time with Sandra Haughey and my colleague here to my right, Yuli Cuse, and we're looking forward to the support of the people based on the hard work that I've been involved in, but also with our two TDs, Patrick McLaughlin and Pierce Doherty. We've been involved in many of the regeneration schemes. We've been involved in developing Letterkenny. It is the major, since the time I've been in the council, become the major retail and employment centre for Donegal. We also now have a university where the ATU has evolved into a university. This is all down to the hard work of the people in education, but also the people in the council. And this is something I'm really proud of. We have brought in over 30 million investment for the regeneration of Letterkenny and indeed addressing the dereliction within the town. I've sat on the Regional Health Forum this last two terms, and I've also been the chair of that, raising all the issues in relation to the health issues that we have in this town, as we know with the Letterkenny University Hospital and all the other health services across the county. Mm-hmm. So, look, if elected, I look for the support of the people to continue with that work.
Okay. You mentioned your running mate there, Yuli Cuse, running for Sinn Féin. Good morning to you, Yuli. Why should people give you a vote?
Cheers, Greg. So, my name's Yuli Cuse. I'm currently working as a mechanical engineer in the Letterkenny area. I graduated from the ATU with an honours degree in mechanical engineering. I then went on to do a postgrad in innovation management from Queen's up in Belfast. I have a passion for my local area and I want to work hard for the betterment of our town and for my local area of Churchill and Glenswilly. I'm all too aware of the decline in services and increase of costs in our area. And I'm not looking to just be a fresh face in the council, but I want to bring a fresh perspective that will stop my generation from emigrating in search of high quality, high wage jobs and a home they can call their own. Those of us who stayed have also found it hard. It's hard to live with the cost of living crisis that has spiralled out of control and hard to find a house, whether it's to rent or to buy. I don't think that it's acceptable that an entire generation has been either forced to emigrate or live with their parents. And I also don't think it's acceptable that people's houses are crumbling through no fault of their own and that they have little to no help from the government. I don't think it's acceptable that Donegal has become the forgotten county in terms of roads and infrastructure, or that a crisis in health has become the norm. This government has failed and we need change. That change starts on June the 7th.
All right, there's government reps here that I'm sure will, well, not reps of the government, members of government parties that might have something to say about that. We'll get to that. Jimmy Kavanagh of Fine Gael. Good morning, Jimmy.
Good morning, Greg, and fellow candidates and everyone listening and watching. My name is Jimmy Kavanagh. I've been a councillor for 15 years, 5 on Letterkenny Town Council and 10 on Donegal County Council. I have worked to represent the community of this MD and the county during that time, and I have always tried to be innovative and to introduce things that makes life better for the community we serve, including beach wheelchairs, the first changing places facility at the retail park currently in progress, smart technology to mark life buoys or to track life buoys at our beaches and waterways, funding for the adventure area of Letterkenny Town Park, an extension to the car park there. I worked with Minister Humphreys to secure funding for the extension of the community centre and proposed a twinning with Rudolstadt in Germany. I'm asking for your number one vote on the 7th of June to continue my work on the council and in particular to bring our plans to fruition for the revamp of the Market Square, a tourism product at the Old Courthouse, the improvement of facilities at New Mills, Corn and Flax Mills, a comprehensive town bus service, improve sporting and recreation facilities in the larger urban areas of the town, such as Glencar and Old Town, and also to continue working with people on issues such as MICA.
Thank you very much, Jimmy, and apologies, Thomas Sean Devine. I overlooked you there. I jumped one, my mistake. Good morning to you, Thomas. I suppose let people know who you are and why you think they should vote for you.
Yeah. Good morning, Greg, and good morning to the rest of the candidates here and your listeners. My name's Thomas Sean Devine, and I'm the chairman of 100% Redress Party. Now, I would ask people to give us our number one vote for not only for the crumbling homes, but for all our local issues that's out there. Like, as you know, Greg, I spoke to you several times about our own water and our estate that's been promised to be fixed for years, and the estate's been taken over, but never has. But there's a whole lot of local issues that we're going to fight on throughout the county. We're standing six candidates, and I'm lucky enough to be selected as the Leather County candidate. Now, I'm originally a proud Tyrone man, which wasn't a great result on Saturday night now, but I've been in Leather County over 20 years. So I would class myself, my mother was a Donegal woman, so I'm nearly a Donegal man. But as I say, I would ask people to please give me their number one vote on Friday the 7th of June. We drastically need change, and it has to start in Donegal County Council. We have six candidates, and we'll work very closely with those with the same interests as ourselves.
Nice. Thanks very much. We'll hear much more from you, of course. Vincent J. Bradley was on the show. He's running in Milford and also in Letterkenny. Why should the people of Letterkenny vote for you, Vincent?
Yes, Greg. Thank you for having me on. I'm Vincent Bradley. I'm running as an independent. And after the great one that Donegal had this over the weekend, let's hope now that on the 7th of June that we can replace this government of occupation that nobody wants. Every person wants them out of this country. We've got a government that are destroying the country. There's no one listening. The politicians are not listening to the people on the street. That's what every person's saying. Our hospital down the road there, people dread going into hospital. You could be lying in hospital trolleys for 5, 10, 15, 20 hours. Nobody knows. It's all falling apart. We have 14,000 homeless people, 4,000 of them children, but yet we're housing the world. And how can we stop this housing crisis? Because when you have a government that sent out a tweet in 8 different languages, come to Ireland, get the free housing, get all the free stuff, this nonsense has to stop. We're not looking after elderly people or young children. Respite services have been cut going back to 2017. So basically, this government of occupation is destroying the country. Again, it's a globalist agenda. So it has to be stopped. So let's replace them now on the 7th of June and make another great one for Donegal once more. Thank you.
Dr. Anne McCluskey is running for the Irish People Party. Good morning to you, Anne. What have you to say to the listeners?
Well, good morning, Greg, and good morning to all your listeners. It's lovely to be here and to meet all the other candidates. I suppose the important thing for me to say, first of all, is that I'm a Catholic. And for me, the most important mission for me in this earth is to save my soul and save the souls of as many of the people I come in contact with as possible. The big issue for me in this nation is our children, born and unborn. I was active in the Letterkenny area and across Donegal campaigning at the time of the 8th referendum. And although I'm from Derry, again, I have Donegal ancestry. My granny was from Ishkeheen, and I have people from around the Letterkenny district in there. I have a work ethic. I've spoken in every... I suppose what I'm trying to say is don't let that small bit of road between Derry and Donegal make people think that my heart isn't with the people of this electoral area. I've been listening to the people around the table. It fascinates me that people who are associated with parties that are in government aren't talking about the big issues since 2020. We had the egregious removal of our most basic and fundamental human rights by the Irish government, and the opposition only wanted to do it harder and faster. The lockdowns caused immense harm to our economy, and the whole now climate narrative and the Agenda 2030, which has been imposed, is decimating our ability to be sovereign as a nation and as a people. I can go on. We have $300 billion of national debt. People are talking about we will get money to do this. Governments don't have money. The money that governments have comes from the people and from the people's taxes and belong to the people. And this government to date, over the last few decades even, has been an utter disgrace in terms of fiscal management of our beautiful island.
And we'll get through some of that, I'm sure, over the course of the next hour and a half. But of course, you know, we are talking here about the local elections and specific to the Letterkenny area. Now, I'm not trying to guide what anyone says. That's up to each individual. But I'm going to go around the table the other direction now. And only in fairness to the candidates that didn't get a say in our last debate as it relates to Letterkenny. There was a lot of conversation about infrastructure in Letterkenny, do you have any views in terms of, you know, where Letterkenny needs to go in terms of freeing up the traffic, freeing up the movement of people to benefit the people studying here, working here? And of course, the four lanes road into Letterkenny was a major talking point. And as I say, people texting in again about what the candidates are going to do to benefit their day-to-day lives and just getting about the place.
Well, the traffic congestion in Letterkenny, I think, has notoriety across the country. It takes, to get from Derry to West Donegal, you know, you have to set by at least half an hour just for the Letterkenny Urban District. The big issue here, though, of course, is housing and the defective blocks.
But just on, because I'm going to go around the table on the issue of transport, and we're going to get on to the blocks as well. Now, if you want to just hold off and take your time on the other issues, that's up to you as well, Anne.
Yeah, no, but
I can't cherry pick just the different issues for the different people. Do you understand?
The transport issue is of course an issue, and public transport. Again, I'm informed in the doors that the public transport infrastructure here is not fit for purpose. These are things that can be addressed at council level, obviously, but again, it's important to understand that our nation is skint and our government are making us more impoverished with every hour that they're staying in power. So I think that's the big thing. It's all very well to have these wonderful plans, but, you know, realistically, they're not going to happen. And politicians can promise you whatever they want. It's not going to happen until Irish people take the power back from these people, bring it back to local community levels, and take back our country from globalism and from the asset strippers. Don't forget that COVID was the biggest upward movement of wealth and power from ordinary sovereign individuals to supranational organisations that ever happened in the history of this land. Mm-hmm. It was the biggest theft, and nobody wants to talk about it now because they're all complicit. Yeah. So,
that we don't want to talk about it, it's just that this is for Letterkenny Town. Obviously, that is a factor, and all issues are local. But just with the local elections and the stuff that can be decided around the table, as I say, I'm not trying to in any way guide the conversation, but just for this time being, at least, just to keep it on the issues that people are listening in for. But listen, you've had your say on that as well. Continuing around the table, and of course, this is a debate, so people can come in or not respectfully as they see fit. Your views, I suppose, on the infrastructure in Letterkenny, the movement of people, Vincent, and how it could be improved?
How it could be improved? It couldn't get much worse. Again, the government that is absolutely clowns in this country, it's run like a circus. All they're doing is wasting taxpayers' money. The four lanes coming in there, personally, if it should have been just resurfaced, it was a good road. Now they made it that ambulances, emergency service can't get in or out. You're sitting at traffic lights. They should have put on a slip road, possibly at the Polestar roundabout. But again, when it comes to logic, this government and all our politicians does not have it. And now they're trying to figure out now how do we resolve this nonsense that we wasted millions and millions on. And again, round and round, it's just a roundabout this country. Money being wasted, and our politicians needs to go because the people has had enough of the nonsense.
All right, Jimmy Kavanagh, I've had enough of you.
Thank you, Greg.
Not you specifically, obviously.
Listen, we have problems, obviously, with traffic in Letterkenny. It's a sign of a town that's extremely busy and extremely successful and has practically the whole county converging on it in the mornings and leaving in the evenings. We have the university here, we have the hospitals, we have so many people working in the town. And it's not surprising that we have the issues that we have, and sometimes we'd be very glad to have them. But we need to address, we talk a lot about the bridge. The bridge in reality is a number of years away, and we all know that now. So we need to look at the things that can be done and can be done quickly.
But there is a sense that when we do something, it's not necessarily improving the situation, that it's worsening it. So how can the people have faith that whatever we do in the interim before this bridge, actually helps?
I think, Greg, first of all, we need a proper town bus service, a comprehensive town bus service. I was in Galway recently. I know it's a bigger town, but they have a town bus service there that is 18 buses on a 20-minute cycle. And people use them, they're full all the time. We need the equivalent of that in Letterkenny. We need a situation where where people can go to work on a bus and maybe have less cars, maybe one car at the house instead of two, and so on. And we need park and ride facilities for people coming
into
town. So
how do the council deliver that, though, whether it's by themselves or in conjunction with the TAI? Because I think what you're saying is we all recognise that we would love a fantastic bus service, we'd love park and ride, yeah, we'd love the hub for transport to be in a more accessible place. In terms of delivery, though, like...
Yeah, those things are all there for delivery, Greg, and we've... As Councillor McMoneagle pointed out earlier, we have sourced a hell of a lot of money from the RDF and so on, and those things can be financed. The point I'm making is that we need to do the things that are possible while we wait on the bridge and so on. And as to the four lane, which is so much in conversation about now and about the access for emergency service and that, I agree completely that it has to be revisited. Because,
but you voted in favour of it, Jim?
Yeah, I did vote
did
in favour.
Did nothing suspicious about that to
absolutely,
you?
No, absolutely not, Greg, because that was sold to us as a safety measure. It wasn't sold for dealing with traffic or preventing congestion or anything like that. It was purely a safety measure, and particularly pedestrian safety. And if anybody will know, tell you, it is actually safer now for a pedestrian because it was absolutely impossible to cross that road before.
Now, yeah, but the cars are having to drive up on the footpaths to let the ambulances through. I'll just point out, Greg, that at
workshops we were assured, and this was raised, and Councillor McMoneagle will confirm this, that we raised the issue of emergency vehicles, and it was raised by us, and we were assured by the engineers there that they were happy with it, that they have been consulted and have been happy on it. It's important that that's called out now because as it turns out, but, you know, this has been turned on councillors. We worked very hard on that project to get it and to get the money for it.
Okay. Thomas Devine, Thomas Sean Devine, 100% redress.
As for infrastructure in Letterkenny and the roads, like I have to echo everybody on here is going to say that they're atrocious. Like, and it's not even the four lanes. You only have to come down the mountaintop here in the mornings. It's shocking the length of time it gets me from the Niner across the road here to get to Hegarty's Ford Garage. You know, like, when I come into Letterkenny years ago, they talked about a bridge over the Swilly. That's how far back we're talking. Like, and I heard a councillor on this radio not that long ago stating that these things take time. How much time do we need? It's approximately 15 million spent on the four lanes, and it's probably going to have to be dug up again now to let emergency traffic come through. A waste of money. There was a filling station closed down now, maybe 10 years or more, that was bought for the bridge to come over the Swilly to come out on that junction. Another waste of, I think it was actually bought twice. That waste of money, you know, where's the bridge, that 15 million for the same four lanes that we have going in out of Letterkenny could have been put towards a bridge over the Swilly. We actually probably need 2 to 3 bridges over the Swilly to come out towards Glen Swilly and coming on from Remelton Road. It's just, I don't know, I think sometimes people need to sit around and have and work these things out properly. Like, yeah, it's just, we could go on all day about Letterkenny and infrastructure.
Right.
It's an amazing town. We have plenty of work and plenty of workplaces on it, but I know people wouldn't travel on the Letterkenny shopping out the moment where the post are around about traffic lights. They're not fit for purpose in my eyes.
Luke Ulick, Hughes of Sinn Féin, what's your view?
Cheers, Greg. So my view, the biggest issue being raised with Doors with me is the road to Dublin. We need that A50 road. The road between Letterkenny and Lifford is it's a safety hazard at this stage. As for the town, the only way of getting in and out of it is if you need to be in work for 9 o'clock, you need to leave at 8, coming in from Churchill and Glenswilly.
Do you call it Church Willie Logan by any chance? Geez. Is that what's happening?
I'm just merging the two.
because if it's a local phrase, feel free to use it. It's all right.
I'll coin that one out if that's all right.
Okay.
The only way I used to be able to do it was stagger your work times, but I had a flexible job. It was I could get away with that. Other people aren't so lucky when you have to be in work for 9 o'clock. A bus service would be absolutely brilliant, especially the likes up to the schools there. Instead of parents dropping their kids to school, simple bus, replace all that traffic that's holding up the town at between 9 o'clock and 4 o'clock. at them key times.
Councillor McMonagall, again, you're a sitting councillor. You've been there for a while. You know, I mean, many people, including your colleague Jimmy Kavanagh, are identifying the problems. But the question is, you know, are we just facing into another election where we all know what the problems are, but we're not moving any closer to a resolution?
Well, I think we are moving quicker to a resolution. In relation to the Bonagie Link and the TNT roads infrastructure that's now sitting at Cabinet, and the noises we're hearing that it's going to be a positive outcome. So that'll move it on. The traffic, you know, and we have to look at Letterkenny. It is the centre of the county, as I said earlier, both the retail and employment centre. It's also got the hospital, university. There is up till 40,000 cars coming in and going out of here in the morning and in the evening times. So what we've done and what happened, if you take from the early noughties through till today, there was a massive building boom in Letterkenny, and it was sort of build houses, build factories, and we got people, a lot of people were encouraged to come in and live in the town, but we never built the infrastructure. And that's not a responsibility of council, and all the council can do is lobby for that. And we have this last, and particularly this term, have worked very hard together in relation to drawing up plans that would help alleviate and identify those issues that we could address as a council.
Often when we talk about elections to the council, it seems to come back to, well, it's not really the council's responsibility. One example, for example, people coming in past Highland Radio going down into the town, there was calls for yellow boxes at the roundabout below us here. Most people agreed with that, at least tried. It would make common sense because, you know, the roundabout snarled up, and it was like, well, that's not our problem, that's a TAI problem. And then they'd have to do a study on this and a study on that. 5 years later, we're no better on. So every conversation I'm having with election candidates, it's almost like not our problem. And then I'm still wondering if the electorate are going to sort of say, well, why vote for these guys anyway?
Yeah, and look, and we would share the same frustration in the council, because unfortunately there is regulations. The TIA are responsible for national roads. The council is responsible for local roads. We, as a member of the AALG, the Association of Irish Local Government, I'm a delegate from Donegal County Council that represents the councillors elected. We have been trying now for a number of years to get more resources, more power back from central government, because they've taken a lot of that away, because we need to join up the dots in local government. And where we can't afford to have a national body being responsible for half our roads in this town, and we have no responsibility over it. So we need to join them dots up. But importantly, like, we are looking, and we are very much advanced in relation to a town bus service, which will go a long way to sort out a lot of the problems.
Will that be subsidised? Because there was a town bus, I can't remember how long ago it was, and it was circling the town empty.
Yeah, it will be, and it will be an efficient bus service, as Jimmy related to it. We don't have to go to Galway. Go to Strabane, which is half the size of Letterkenny, and they have a busy, what they call a busy bee, which it goes every 20 minutes to. You know, we are now currently in discussions with the National Transport Authority, with Local Link, and with the council, and we're determined to get in place a proper working bus service, right, and the park and rides, as has already been
Michael McLaughlin of the Labour Party is a self-confessed townie.
I am a self-confessed townie. Thanks, Greg, and apologies for the cough. The first thing we need to recognise in this town is that we're a river town. And we talk about all kinds of short-termist interventions. Like, if you go from the Clanry, Hotel Clanry, to the cathedral around the one-way system, you go through 11 sets of traffic lights. One. I don't see how that helps any form of traffic movement. If you're getting bottleneck after bottleneck after bottleneck, you end up with the queues that we're talking about, and that has major impacts. I was talking to a hairdresser last week who, on Saturday last, every one of her appointments ran between 30 and 45 minutes behind schedule. That's not sustainable. I was talking to one of the managers out in Aldi who told me that people are not coming. So how do we do it? I remember going out to Bunnygee in the 80s with my father, who was so excited about this land that was going to be bought to build a bridge. We're now in 2024. It needs to happen. In that same time, we were awarded a status similar to Sligo. Now, Sligo's a similar town. It actually got smaller than us. They have a university. They have a regional hospital. They got their bypass over 25 years ago. They have a bus service that's already two lines, and third one coming on in September, that runs every half an hour beginning at 7 o'clock in the morning. That's not comparable.
So why has that not been delivered for Letterkenny?
That's a really good question. And that's a question that I'd like to have answered. And I haven't had an answer yet. I'm sick and tired of the same responses, as you've talked about, that, you know, it's not our problem, or Dublin doesn't listen, or people are not giving us the money or whatever, but how are other places in the... Now, I will acknowledge, and I think everybody here might acknowledge as well, that Donegal is quite frequently left behind. And I'm sure that's due to our geographic location. But that means we need to be louder, and we need to make more noise, not less. And rather than accept piecemeal offerings or an interventionist strategy, we need to get louder and demand more.
Donald, Andy Kelly, you speak regularly on the roads infrastructure around Letterkenny.
Yeah, Greg, I certainly do. And I suppose if we go back to the four lane, which I think your question, Kenny, was pointed at, I suppose that was passed before I came on to council 3.5 years ago. And listen, it has always been my opinion, and always will be, that money would have been better spent on a bridge over the Swilly. Without a shadow of a doubt. But I think it's important that we don't send the wrong message out here as well, Greg. You know, sometimes having traffic in your town is not all that bad, because it could be a hell of a lot worse if we had no traffic at all in Letterkenny. And, you know...
But you don't want traffic in Letterkenny trying to get to Carrick or to Dunloe, surely?
No, definitely not, Greg. And, you know, that's something that we have to continue working on. We have to deliver the Bunnygee Link. We have to deliver the bridge over the Swilly. And importantly, we have to deliver the TEN-T project as well. And I feel going forward that we have to continue pushing that. And we are pushing on them issues as local county councillors. And I mean, you know, there's only so much we can do at a local level. But we're representing the people to the best we very can. We're having certain public consultations on the Southern Relief Road, the Northern Relief Road, you know, and that's ongoing. And it is positive. And there's no doubt about it, Greg, and I have no doubt about it, that things is moving too slow. And it's one thing that has, I suppose, really frustrated me since I came on to council about how slowly things do move.
Yeah.
But listen...
Maybe you need another roundabout up there.
Yeah.
It might speed things up. Kevin Bradley.
Thanks, Greg. No, Greg, you just feel the same as yourself. As all the councillors have spoke here, it's all right when you're outside looking in. When you're inside looking out, you're in two different places. We've tried lobbied for everything that's going on out there. The Polestar roundabout, the traffic lights is working well if you're coming into the town and going out of the town. But on phase two, the traffic lights are going to go traffic lights at the over at the Creamery and traffic lights at the Ballerine School there.
But you can't tell me traffic's moving well if you're coming from Remelton towards...
No, but that's what I'm telling you, Greg. The way forward is the traffic lights is in there. The thing will be moving. A bit of time. They're a lot... The chat about, I was born and reared in this town, and it's a different time from then to now. And the amount of traffic, the amount of people, the hospitals and the staff, and they're chatting about nobody coming to shop in Letterkenny. Well, I'll tell you in business, this is the busiest town in the county. And I would say a lot of town would like to have the population that Letterkenny has, between colleges and the hospital, and the amount of factories, the amount of workers in this town. You know, it's a credit. There's a lot of great work going on there.
Okay.
But again, but the bus... I put on for the bus, the Letterkenny bus. We sat down, we had a meeting with the local boy that's doing it, and you're asking, was the bus still running? The bus is still running. It's an inadequate service. It starts at 9:30. It runs about all day with nobody on the bus. The man came down and promised us 3 buses 4 years ago, easy, 4 years ago. And yet every question, every time we put in the questions at the motions, at the meetings, I put on anywhere the town bus. But as Councillor McMonagall stated there now, if you go to Strabane, you go to Derry, you look at the buses running about, people's using the buses, people would, the parking's, everything's a problem here, so I think the sooner we get this bus up and running, the main thing, and we all know we do need a bridge.
Does anyone know, and I'm not being smart or trying to catch anyone out, if I were travelling from, say for instance I was travelling from Ballybuffet and I wanted to park the car and travel around Letterkenny on the bus, does anyone know where I'd park the car and get onto the bus? No. We see it's that kind of basic...
No, we accept that the current bus service is not working. It's not adequate, you know, and this is what we've been working on. And we have a plan there now. We have, a National Transport Authority interested. We have Local Link and bus operators interested in those discussions. And we have identified park and ride sites. So we've identified what our need is. It's just now about getting a delivery out there.
Okay.
And that's why it's important that we have the National Transport Authority and in these discussions.
OK, you'll hear much more from our candidates, more from others that weren't as vocal in this area, presumably as we move through the topics. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or you can give us a call on 074 91 25,000. We're going to come back with housing, and I suppose that's an umbrella term for a lot of what's going on as people people might see. We're going to come back with that after we take this break. So stay right where you are. Okay, a mix of cloud and good sunny spells today. Mostly dry apart from a few showers. Highest temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees. A caller says, how long was the Neil T. Blaney Bridge in process before it was built in the middle of nowhere? Which I think is a little unfair. There are people that that has given great access to. What are these politicians on about putting local buses on? How are they going to get around the town when cars can't? Are they going to be fitted with wings? We'll wait in confirmation on that. We need clarity on what funding was received for the four lanes and the purpose of it. Wasn't spent on the four lanes, could have been used for the relief road or bridge. Well, it went over budget. Right, on to housing. Michael McLaughlin, I'll start with you on this issue. It is a big issue. Yes? Oh, of course, Jerry McMonagle, of course.
Yeah, just confirm, just in relation to the budget for the four lane, it was a road safety project and the monies couldn't be transferred to the bridge. It was a road, specifically for road safety.
It was a fund, a road safety fund, okay.
Yeah.
Michael McLaughlin, housing and all it encompasses. I mean, you know, this is going to be about the supply of housing, the availability of housing, what's led to a lack of availability. So it's a broad church and there'll be a bit of... bit of latitude on this one, I think.
How many days are you allowing me to answer this, Greg?
2.5 minutes.
Housing is a massive problem, and it's the single most frequent problem that's coming up on the doors as I go around. If we look at some of the CSO figures, so March 24, there was 163,000 vacant housing or housing units in Ireland, and there's 13,500 people homeless. We've got a massive issue with vacancy and dereliction around the country, but also in Donegal. And I know reference has been made to this on Friday's debate as well, but there are council housing units that are vacant for in excess of 5 years in various places in this town. And
I don't want anyone to feel that we're going over old ground by referencing the Friday debate, because there's a lot of...
No, but it's something that came up a lot with me.
I just want you all to feel freely to speak without the knowledge of that, because...
Oh, everyone, okay, great.
You get where I'm coming from?
Absolutely, yeah, thank you. The other thing, that a statistic that really shocked me from March the 1st, there was 2,000 housing units available on DAFT for the entire country, but there was 18,000 units available on Airbnb.
So how do you bring them into long-term rental then? Because again, we don't want to just identify problems, we want to come up with some solutions.
Absolutely. I think, well, I mean, to come up with solutions, if I was to sit here and tell you I could solve housing in 24 hours, then I think I would be doing really well. I don't think we can solve housing in any short-term fix.
Would you tax people out of the... Because there's no point referencing those figures unless you think it's...
Well, if we come back to the vacancy and dereliction thing, first of all, we have to deal with vacancy and dereliction. And when we look at the grants that are available for drawing down for people who take over derelict houses to do them up or whatever, much has been trumpeted about that. I was talking to somebody last week who had bought an older house that had a protection order on it. And so there's a limit of 13 months in the length of time that you can take down that, draw down that money. But if you've got a house that has... protection order on it, then you need to have special architects and special things available. 13 months is too short a time frame on that, and that sounds a bit arbitrary to me that we're going to put those kind of limitations on that. So on one hand we're saying that we're doing this, but on another hand we're making drawing down funding for those kind of things.
You can come back in, anyone wants to raise their hands to get in on this. We're not sort of having to keep going around in a circle, by the way,
but to
finish your point,
to continue that on the vacancy thing, Ballybofey has the highest vacancy rate in the country, and we're talking about vacancy in general, and we in the Labour Party would like to have an audit of all stock available. So looking at, I remember in this town where people lived above shops in the main street, are all of those things in order to deal with housing quickly and efficiently, we need to look at what is already built and is it being used appropriately. Moving forward from that, we need to start building both social and private housing.
Dr. Anne McCluskey, you indicated first. Do you want to come in?
I did indeed. The housing situation is obviously dire, and some of the stories I've heard around the doors in Letterkenny literally had me in tears. It's absolutely horrific what's going on. And as I say, I think it's important to look at the defective blocks issue, because I do believe there are two sides to that. And a big important one is regulatory failure. This was an absolute dereliction of duty by those who were tasked to make sure that the building materials were fit for purpose, and it didn't happen. Now, me being a famous conspiracy theorist, I do actually believe that this is related. And, you know, this is a long shot and I don't know, but I do believe this is related to the whole Agenda 2030, because we know that the idea is to get us all into 15-minute cities, to stack us and pack us and get us in our little bubble.
Just to be clear, Anne, you believe the defective concrete block crisis is engineered as part of
Maybe. And there's certain indications. It's a subject that I'm researching. The fact that these blocks were passed over several years as being suitable for purpose when they absolutely weren't, may very well be an agenda, because again, I am a conspiracy theorist, because you just have to open your eyes and look around you. You have to read the documents, Agenda 2020 and Agenda 2030, to understand that what we have is a global system which wants to reduce the world's population to, this is written down, this is not a conspiracy theorist, it wants us dead, it wants us in small, tightly packed housing things, it wants us poor. And the other thing then is you cannot look at housing, because there's a tap in and a drain out. You cannot have the taps open and the borders to this country open for illegal, unvetted, military age young men of God knows what provenance, and including then the utter dereliction of duty of the government in looking after our borders and in looking after our own people first. Where you have children living in B&B and we have children living in hotels and you have the borders open, that government is a failure.
That's Anne McCluskey. We do have to take another break for the news, and then we have much more time after that up until 12. But I'm going to bring you in a second, Vincent. But Thomas Sean Devine, as chair of the 100% Redress, a question there is: the defective concrete blocks an engineered crisis as part of a global agenda?
Greg, I don't believe, definitely not. I don't think people started the manufacture faulty blocks in the 90s for some global thing for 2030 now, but listen, that's my opinion, but I don't believe that it was. Now I come back to the housing crisis. Like there's close to 3,000 homes affected with defective concrete blocks. I've knocked 99% of the houses' doors in Letterkenny, and in Letterkenny town there's close to 3,000 homes affected with defective concrete blocks. Not only that, Greg, I've been up in Wundy Hall and I've been in several different states here in Letterkenny where there's derelict houses lying for years. Some of these houses are affected with defective concrete blocks, which I believe should be demolished, rebuilt, where people in that estate could be moved on temporarily to their houses as rebuilt. And that's just council tenants and all. Council estates where council tenants is living on these estates. But it's you come back to, probably come back to the government, where there are not enough homes being built. There's a site being built behind me here in Letterkenny, which is, there's 51 units being built. That site is at a standstill this last couple of weeks, whatever's going on up there. And the house that's in there is going to a housing association. And I do believe Donegal County Council needs to go back to the oil meadow with 8 years ago. They had their own workers building their own homes, and I think that needs to be an urgent.
Okay, well, listen, everyone wants in on this, and we're going to dedicate a great deal of time, but we do have to take a quick break for the news. Rejoin us, because as I say, the second hour, we have more space, and we'll go around the table, and if people want to come back in again, of course, then they can also. But rejoin us in a few moments here on the 9 till noon show.